The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me, of course, Brother David Harris, and we're going to be going to the Word of God in just a few moments. I want to encourage you, if you would, to open in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to be noticing verses 8 and 9. Just to let you know what we're doing, and by the way, this is a live call-in talk show, and so we encourage your participation in this talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or you can also send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And friends, we do so much appreciate you listening. We want to encourage you to be a part of our program this afternoon. We're looking at seven keys to personal growth, helping us to grow in a way that we're going to be acceptable in the eyes of God. And in our study thus far, the first key that we noticed was loyalty. And we talked about how that if we're going to ever be the children of God that God would have us to be, then we must be loyal to God and we must be loyal to His Word. And then, of course, we talked about responsibility, how that once we've accepted that we're going to be a Christian and we've made that a part of our lives, then we're going to have to accept certain responsibilities. And then last week, we talked about courage. Living the Christian life, David, it takes a lot of courage.
Absolutely.
And if we don't have courage, then we're never going to live the kind of life that God would have us to live. And this week, we're going to talk about determination. And before we go any further, we need to point out that determination is defined as the quality that you show when you've decided to do something and you're not going to let anything stop you. David, I'm reminded of a Texas Ranger who said that there's no stopping a man when he's right and he knows it. I think that's exactly what we're talking about when it comes to the Christian life. We know we're right because we're doing it based on the Word of God. And friends, we should never let anything stop us in doing the will of God. So as a child of God, I must be determined. But David, as we think about that, I think we need to understand that the devil is determined as well.
There is absolutely no doubt about that.
The devil is determined. And if we're going to whip the devil, and really that's what God desires in every one of our lives, is for us to whip the devil, David, we're going to have to be more determined than he is.
Absolutely.
And you know, so many times, David, people get frustrated and they quit when they start the Christian walk, something happens, they get frustrated and quit, and they've just allowed the devil to win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be determined, folks, and have that determination that no matter what life throws at me, I'm going to be loyal to the Word of God. And I'm not going to let anything stop me from doing that.
Right.
If you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. David's going to read verses 8 and 9, and then he's got some comments that he'd like to add to the discussion.
Well, you know, when you're talking about resisting the devil, and
yes,
we're talking about resisting his agents and resisting his devices as
Amen.
Well.
That's right.
And he's got lots of devices, and he's got lots of agents. And it's important that we understand about this determination, one of the seven keys to our personal growth. It's interesting to know that the same vocabulary definition for determination is also found in diligence.
Yes.
And here is what Peter has to say. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, he says, be sober, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, and we are to be resisting this devil at every turn, and his agents and his devices. Now, Carrie, I don't care what anybody has to say. We are living right now in this great United States of America, the land of the free. We are living under an evil government, and it's evil from the top down. And we're talking about devices that are being used by our government right now for people who would uphold the Word of God that, as it is written, and we are being forced by law to accept things that are not right.
Yes.
And just as I brought a few things that have been in the news here lately, one of the things that's in the news is the health care plan. That's all you ever hear about is this health care plan. And one of the items that is funded in that health care plan is Planned Parenthood. For those of you that don't know, Planned Parenthood sounds very good. This is one of the devices of the devil. He tries to make things that are ugly and bad sound good. Planned Parenthood is the world's largest abortion provider with an annual budget in excess of $1 billion. And last year, it posted an $85 million profit. Planned Parenthood, friends, get this, it also received $350 million in federal funding in 2007. Now, friends, that's your tax money. That's my tax money. And what they're doing is they are forcing American citizens to finance the abortion industry under the guise of health care. Now, friends, that cannot be accepted, and the taking of human life is not health care. It never has been.
No.
Now, for decades, existing federal law has prohibited the use of taxpayer funds from paying for abortions, but now a radical, evil change is taking place with this Democratic health care resolution. Now, I say it's a Democrat's health care because I don't know of a Republican that's voting for it.
No.
And I'm not trying to put one party against another. I'm just pointing out the evil government that we have right now and that we're under. Another thing that I would like to point out is Barack Obama, our president, he has appointed a bunch of czars. And one of these czars that he has appointed is a safe school czar. And this fellow is a guy by the name of Kevin Jennings. Now, he is the founder, friends, this guy that has been appointed to guard our children in safe school. He is the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and he has been surrounded by controversy concerning this organization. And he's been accused of visiting middle schools and high schools where spokespersons engage in explicit sexual discussion with our students and our children. And in conjunction with this, they've uncovered that this GLSN, of which he is the founder, has recommended an alleged pornographic reading list for underage students. And friends, the exact details of that reading list are just flat too explicit for us to reveal over this radio station. But the material includes frank descriptions and the glorification of adult on minor homosexual acts. And this is one of the men that has been appointed by the head, the president of the United States of America, appointing a man to be the safe school czar. And then there's one more thing that I'd like to point out. Very quickly, is in nearly every front, the president is coming across and using devices, and he's using special laws. He's using an executive order to force taxpayer funding of abortions overseas. He is using taxpayer money for research into the destruction of human embryos. He is publicly advocating the repeal for the Defense of Marriage Act, and he's having the Employment Non-Discrimination Act filed and started. And, friends, he has already passed the hate crimes law that is going to violate every individual's constitutional right that is not a homosexual. Now, this is just for starters. Now, if you don't think that this is an evil set of instructions and an evil government that we have on our hands right now, folks, you're just not paying attention. And what does the scripture say, Carrie? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And so we've got to be determined. we see right now that this government that we have that is governing us as Christians living here in the United States of America, this government is trying to impose laws and trying to impose things that are absolutely and totally contrary to God's law. And we have just got to be just as determined as they are in the faith that we get from the Word of God to be as courageous as they are and trying to step out there and stop this mess that we've gotten ourselves into.
You know, David, we have an example of something like this happening in the first century. The church, of course, is established in Acts chapter 2,
right.
And it's not long before Peter and the apostles are out preaching the gospel, and the Jewish leaders of those days, they didn't like what they were saying, and so they tell them in Acts chapter 5, and you if you have a chance, we want to encourage you to open your Bible. And by the way, it is a call-in talk show, so if you've got a question or comment, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But it says in verse number 27, when they had brought them, talking about Peter and the apostles, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So, David, they said, you don't preach in his name anymore.
Right.
Stop it. Shut up. You know, but listen to what they say in verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, we're going to do what God told us to do, regardless of what you say as a ruler. But notice what else they say in verse 9. They didn't stop there, David.
Mm-hmm.
They said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And then they go on to say, him God highly exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay him. So, David,
right.
You know, this idea that we've got to be timid in the face of opposition
mm-hmm.
is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Instead of cowtailing to instructions that are given to us to hush, we ought to make even more racket when they tell us to hush. We ought to be even more forthright in preaching the truth.
Well, this is a perfect example of the determination that God expects each and every one of us
Amen.
To have. And we many times we are concerned about bringing God and His Word up in a conversation. Because somebody might make fun of us. Somebody might call you a religious nut or a religious zealot or whatever they want to call you.
You're
a Bible thumper. I don't know what everybody else wants to call you. But I'm telling you, this kind of determination is what caused these apostles. They were just plain old ordinary men when Jesus
right.
found them.
That's right.
And he made them what they were. And their key to personal growth was not only loyalty, it was not only responsibility, it was not only courage, and you saw the courage there. It was that absolute and total determination that they had to uphold God in whatever situation that they were in. And friends, we have been right here allowing the government to take over and tell us just exactly what they were telling these apostles in that first century there. Don't you speak about him anymore. And this is the basis for that hate crimes law. We're going to hold it up against every preacher. We're going to hold it up against everybody that says anything detrimental to a homosexual, because we're going to call that a hate crime, and we see the evidence of this already started out in California. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
You know, folks, if you can't get excited about this kind of thing, then I don't know what it takes to get you excited about talking about the Word of God. We need to be bold in our proclamation of the truth. Now, friends, David and I have said for a long time on this radio program, you've heard what men have said, But let's just listen to the Word of God. And so we're giving you the Word of God. The devil is out there. He's active. He's roaring, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says we've got to resist him. And David, this idea that we can't stand up to the devil has caused serious harm to the cause of Christ. It's caused serious harm to the nation that we live in. So folks, let's get excited about this and start talking about it, and let's take the determination to say, I don't care what Satan says, I'm going to do what God says, and that's just the way it is.
It is. And Carrie, today, I was talking to an individual that was telling me about this wonderful trip that a bunch of kids were about to go on. And it just nearly cut me to the heart when I found out that they were going to leave on Sunday morning. This is a bunch of school-age children. Yeah. They're going to load them up and leave out on this trip on Sunday morning. I said, well, whose idea was this? Well, this is the way it's always been. Well, somebody started that. Yeah. And we look back and we ask ourselves, when did colleges start playing basketball games on Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, it's just been a matter of a few years. But before that, when did college basketball start playing on Wednesday nights? Yeah. Well, it was just a few years before that. And so incrementally, we have allowed our guard to be let down. We stopped being sober. We stopped being vigilant. We allow the devil and all of his agents, and they come in incrementally, and we just say, oh, well, we can't do anything about it. This is the way it's always been. Stop it. That's where somebody's got to just put their foot down and say, stop it. We're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to take my kids out. At Hillcrest, we've already had one family that had to go talk to the coaches in high school because they scheduled basketball games on a Wednesday night during Bible class. And they wanted their kid to play. There's no doubt about that. But why in the world would you even set anything up like that when they know for sure that Bible study is a very, very important a part of a Christian's life, and now they're going to make a kid choose. And if they can get this thing stuck in there, then it won't take but just a matter of a few years when everybody will be playing on Wednesday night, because if you're going to play, you're going to have to play on Wednesday night, so you're going to have to make another choice. And this determination to be what God wants us to be has got to be part of our personal growth. And if we don't have that determination, Kerry, we will never be able to muster the courage to say no.
Well, David, and friends, we want to remind you about why we began this series. We're trying to set forth some keys, and we defined what we meant by that is something that will unlock something. And so we're trying to unlock some things in our lives that will help us to be better children of God. All of us need this, David. This is not something that you and I don't need. I mean,
I need it as bad as anybody.
Yeah, we need this. And by the way, I taught this at our camp last year to our young people, this very same series that David and I are going through, trying to help them and build them up so that they can be courageous children of God. And friends, we want you to participate in our discussion. So call us at 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. And also, the email is available at keqx@rocketmail.com. And let us know what you think about what we're talking about. I understand we're up against a break right now, and so we'll take a break, and we'll see you back in a couple of minutes.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Parkheights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I have here with me Kerry Clark, my co-host, and we are considering today one of the seven keys to personal growth, and we are on determination. And we have spent the first 20 minutes of our program setting up how important it is to be for us to be determined. We're not only fighting against outside sources, we are actually fighting against our own government. We're fighting against laws that have been made in this country that are put there to actually tear down any kind of Christianity and try to discourage instead of encourage, and it is really hurting the determination of people that want to stand up for that which is right according to God. We have considered what the first century Christians did when they were brought before the authorities and they were warned not to speak about Jesus Christ anymore. They said we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's just exactly what we've been talking about right here on this radio station. We want you to know what God has to say. You've already heard what man has to say. Now let's hear what God has to say. This is a call-in program at 254-445-2473. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we would encourage you to call us here and get in on this discussion about determination. One of the great principles of the Bible is that God is not going to only tell us what it is that we need to do. He's going to give us an example that we can follow so that we can figure out how to do it. And one of the great examples that we find in the Bible about determination is found in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was leading a group of God's people, a group of Jews, back in from captivity. They had been in captivity for disobeying God. And now he leads this group back, and their purpose is to build the wall around Jerusalem. Now, it was very important in these days to have a wall city, because this walled city was for protection. And so these people came back. They've already got the temple set up by another man by the name of Ezra. And Zerubbabel set up the temple, rebuilt the temple. Ezra came back and reestablished proper worship to God. And now Nehemiah brings another group of Jews back from captivity, and they build this wall. And as he gets here, he finds that he's got a lot of trouble. Because this wall has been broken, it has been burned, it has been destroyed, and so he makes an inspection of this wall in chapter 2. And before he even starts the inspection process so that he can come up with a plan, the first thing that he does is pray to God. And Carrie, that's one of the keys to our life, is prayer and more of it. We need to pray about things. We need to give thanks to God for things. We need to make our supplications and all of our anxieties made be known to Him. Philippians chapter 4. And then after we pray to God, we need to get started. And he had a plan after he went through and made the inspection. And that's exactly what we need to do, is look things over and then determine what is the best course of action for us to take. And if you have your Bibles handy, I would ask that you turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, and I want to read with you verse number 17 and 18, and here is the plan that he has. Then I said unto them, you see the distress. Now he's speaking to the people, the Jews, and the distress that they're in. He says, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And so what he's telling them here, so that we can't be picked and pulled apart. He says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and I also the king's words. And if you look back in chapter 1, the king's word says, I'm going to give you timbers, I'm going to give you materials, I'm going to give you supplies. He told them all about this, that the king had spoken unto him. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. That means they took courage and they were determined to get the work done after they had seen the plan.
That's exactly right. You know, David, you're talking about the examination, the inspection. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be inspecting ourselves to make sure we're living right. We need to make sure that what we're doing is acceptable to God. That's what we see with this man by the name of Nehemiah. And so they come together and they get a plan. And the plan is, we're going to rebuild the wall. David, you've already explained how that wall was for protection. It's to keep those that would do harm to the people of God. That wall is to keep them out. And David, you know, God has given us the church today. And the church is there for our protection.
Mm-hmm.
And God has built the walls of the church, as it were, to protect us, and we need to be careful that we don't let those walls get torn down.
Those are the spiritual walls.
The spiritual
and
walls.
And not the physical walls.
That's right.
We're not talking about a building. We're talking about a spiritual body.
And you know, David, I think it's interesting when you get to chapter 3 of Nehemiah, when they start rebuilding the walls, one of the things they do is they start working on the gates. And, you know, as you look at this, it says that the high priest, this is Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 1, he built the sheep gate. You know, David, here is a man that is the high priest, and yet he's in there getting his hands dirty, helping rebuild the wall. And I think that that's something that we all can take and understand. It doesn't matter what our station in life might be, we're not too good to get in and get our hands dirty.
That's right.
And so he rebuilds along with his brethren. They rebuild the sheep gate. And it says that in verse number 3 that the sons of Hassasana, they built the fish gate. And you get down to verse 14, David, and this one is kind of, you know, I get a little humor out of this. I guess I've got a little bit of a crazy side to me. But, you know, I want you to get in your mind that the children of Israel, they're given their instructions. And this man, you know, he tells his wife, man, we're going down tomorrow, and Nehemiah's going to tell us what gate we're going to rebuild. And so he comes home, and she says, well, hon, what gate did you get? And he says, I got the dung gate. You know, but he doesn't mind getting his hand dirty and go in there and rebuild that gate. And like I say, folks, sometimes When you're trying to do the work of God, you got to get down in the sewer. You know, you got to get your hands dirty to do the work of God.
Right.
And sometimes I think we think as Christians that everything's going to be nice and clean, and but it's not that way. Life is not that way.
No.
Life is tough. Now give us a call, friends, at 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And we want you to understand this is your radio program. Give us a call. I know that sometimes we've talked to people and they said, but there was really nothing we can add to the conversation. Well, yeah, you can. You can add a lot to the conversation. So jump in if you've got an illustration from the Bible or if you've got a question. And as David and I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be with what we're discussing right now. We're willing to open this up. And if you've got a Bible question, then give us that Bible question. And David and I've said before, you know, if you can stump the preacher, then let's do it. Let's get on here and be a part of that. But David, this plan was, let's come together and rebuild the wall.
Right, and they had to be unified as a determined body. We're talking about determination here. And when they set out to build this gate, everybody had a function. And all this wall, excuse me, not the particular gate, but this wall, everybody
right.
had a function in this wall, and this wall had to be started and finished with everybody working from the start to the finish in the middle. Everybody had to be working. They had to be unified in their and what they were doing. And the only way that they can do this, Kerry, is they had to be determined to stick with the plan, whatever that plan was.
Yeah.
And all the time, as you read in this book of Nehemiah, they had that enemy. From outside, they were taunting them, they were troubling them, they were doing everything in their power to stop them from building this wall. They did not want it to happen. Now, the Persian government sent them down there. Nehemiah was a very, very rich man. You talking about the high priest a while ago. Nehemiah gave up one of the most plus jobs in the entire Persian Empire as the cupbearer of the king Artaxerxes. He gave that up along with his great salary, and he went down there to be a wall builder.
Yeah.
And you talk about giving something up. You know, there is a lot of sacrifice to be made in order to be a Christian.
That's right.
We're not going to be able to do some of the things that we have done before. We're not going to be able to say some of the things that we've said before. We have got to change our ways and change our life and get with the plan and stick with the plan. And this is what they were doing. They were a unified body, even with the enemy after them from day one. They never got any rest from that enemy. And we get right back to what the Holy Spirit, through Peter, has told us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour.
You know, David, you brought up an interesting point. When you start doing the work of God, there's going to be opposition that arises. And when you get to chapter 4, they've got their plan. They're starting to work their plan. You get to chapter 4, and it says that it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was angry and he took great indignation. Watch this. And he mocked the Jews. You know, David, when you're doing the work of God, people are going to ridicule you. They're going to say that you think you're better than we are. They're going to throw all these accusations. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now watch what happens. He spake to his brethren. This is Sanballat. Chapter 4 and verse 2 of Nehemiah.
The enemy.
He spake to his brethren and the army of Samaria, and what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So they're making fun of that. Well, a little old fox could knock that wall over that they're building. And notice what happens in verse number 8. It says that they conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. David, so it says in verse number 9 that we made our prayer unto God.
First thing we do. Pray to God.
We made our prayer unto God, but watch this. And they set a watch against them night and day. They knew the enemy was coming, so they started putting out guards. We need to know where our enemy is. We need to know what our enemy's doing. And so they set up a watch. But listen to what happens in verse 10, folks. It says that Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall." David, Judah becomes discouraged. And he says, look, folks, we can't do it. When you start, now friends, here's the point. When you start listening to the enemy, you're going to be discouraged. But David, Nehemiah said, buddy, wait a minute. We're not going to allow them to destroy us. And so he says, we need to set our watch and fight these guys on every turn.
Well, it's interesting as all of this is revealing as you're going through the book of Nehemiah and showing what the enemy is trying to do and showing what Nehemiah and the people are trying to do. They're losing their courage because they're losing their determination.
That's
listening.
Exactly right.
And it's interesting as we have put this together and the seven keys, what you've got to have before you can have determination is courage.
That's right. And
this determination is sitting right up on top of that platform of courage. And so they're losing their determination because they're losing their courage. They're losing their focus on the plan that they had. Now, you mentioned something that I think is very, very interesting. Nehemiah said that we had to have a watch. We need to know where the enemy is. We need to know what the enemy is doing.
Exactly.
Friends, we mentioned that at the outset of this program. The governmental laws that are trying to be passed in this United States of America, which are actually violating the Constitution, which give us our rights, which give us our freedom, these are our enemies. These laws that they're trying to pass, there are laws of an enemy, and we are being pushed into a corner, and if we don't fight, if we don't watch, if we don't pay attention to what's going on, Kerry, we're going to be torn to pieces by it.
Well, that's exactly right. I think we have a caller. And caller, we just ask if you give your first name and your question or comment, if you would.
Well, my name is Robin, and my comment was when you were talking about the discouragement that people were feeling when they were building that wall in the book of Nehemiah.
Yes.
And I thought we can feel that same discouragement like you were talking about from other people because of our beliefs. And isn't that the good thing that God put in place for us to meet together with our Christian brethren, with those that believe the same as us, so we can be uplifted and re-encouraged to face those times when others are discouraging us?
You know, you're exactly right, Robin, and the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Listen to what it says. It actually begins in verse number 24. It says, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Robin, that's a great comment. God, in his wisdom, saw that Christians need to come together so that we can build one another up. And in our singing, we do that, Ephesians 5 and verse number 19, that we encourage one another, we exhort one another through singing. And that's a great comment. David, you want to add something to it?
I think it's very interesting, Robin, that you bring this up and I mentioned just a moment ago how that our children were trying to be convinced that we need to forsake our Bible study, we need to forsake our Sunday assembly for other things that are school-related or that are educational, and they sound so good. But here he tells us in verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That is what that encouragement and that determination that we are to have, that's where it comes from our assembly and from the Word of God. What a wonderful, wonderful comment this is that you've made, Robin.
I think the other thing about that verse that we have to remember is we are there to be encouraged, but we're also there to encourage others. And
absolutely.
So it's a two-part deal. You know, we get uplifted from being there, but we have a responsibility to help those around us and encourage them as well.
You are absolutely right. And Carrie mentioned just a moment ago in our singing and our praising God, where it tells us to make melody in our heart as singing psalms and hymns one to another.
Yes.
And this is the provoking of one to another, and they are all directed to God, which is the object of our worship. What a wonderful thing that you brought out.
And you know,
all right. Thanks, guys. I'll let y'all get to it, and I appreciate your show and listening to you.
Well, thank you very much, Robin. Appreciate your call.
And I got one verse I want to add to this discussion, and then we're going to have to take a break. But it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, David, there's another aspect of that building one another up through our singing of praises together. But, friends, we're up against a break right now, so we're going to take a break. We appreciate Robin's call. The number to call is 254-445-2473. So we've got a couple-minute break, and then we'll come back to you. Thank you.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday, and we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. We're talking about seven keys to personal growth. And we've discussed in our discussion so far, we talked about loyalty, we talked about responsibility, we talked about courage, and this evening we're talking about determination, that we've got to make a determination. We've got to be determined in our effort to do the will of God and not let anything stop it. And we were talking about in Nehemiah chapter 4 that as the children of Israel were building the wall, in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, David, they got the wall built up about halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the enemy comes in, starts mocking them and ridiculing them. And they even discouraged some who said, well, we're not going to be able to do it. And Satan... And David, I think that one of Satan's greatest tools is discouragement. He gets us discouraged. And we had a great call from Robin talking about how as God in his wisdom has seen fit to make sure that Christians come together on the first day of the week and worship him. And a part of that worship is to build one another up so that we can go out and face the trials and the tribulations of life. But David, as you look at this, David, you find that the adversary discourages some, and so Nehemiah said, we've got to set up a watch. And what happens is, in chapter 4 and verse number 17, folks, I want you to listen to this. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, listen, friends, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. David, they had their tool in one hand, and they had their weapon in the other.
Right.
And David, you know, the Bible is our sword today, the Word of God, according mm-hmm. to Ephesians chapter 6. And David, everywhere we go, we need to go and do our work, but we better have our spiritual weapon so that we can get it, and if Satan or one of his cohorts stands up, we can whip out our sword, and we can go to defend the Word of God.
Isn't it marvelous how he gives us a physical illustration?
Amen.
So that we won't have very much trouble at all seeing the spiritual application of that physical illustration. So they're having trouble getting the work done because the world or the enemy and the agents of Satan, they are trying to hinder them just as hard as they can, but they will not be discouraged and they're not going to lose their determination. They're going to work with one hand and have the other hand on their sword.
That's right.
And this is a marvelous thing. Well, when we get to chapter 6, mm-hmm. what we find is they have attempted to stop the work. In the last five verses, they've attempted to stop the work. They have laughed at them. They have ridiculed them. They have mocked them. They have even threatened them. And now, when we get to chapter 6, just like the regular old enemy of Satan, now they want to be their friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you can just imagine what kind of friend we're dealing with here, but everything else has failed for them, so now they come to them and they want to be their friends, and they're asking Nehemiah, the leader of the people, that is giving them all of this encouragement and giving them this determination because of his constant encouragement that he gives them. They are told then to bring to meet him at the plains of Ono and talk to him. Let's talk this over, he says. Why don't you take it from there, Kerry?
Well, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 2 that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. David, we said earlier that we need to know not only who the enemy is, but we need to know what the enemy is doing. And so just like we see today, David, there are those who are going to mock, ridicule, try to laugh. make us stop doing our work. But when that doesn't work, then they say, well, wait a minute, why don't we just join hands and work together? Let's go down to the plain of oh no.
Right.
And you find that Nehemiah said, oh no, we're not going to the plains of oh no.
That's not going to happen, is it? Now, we've got an email, and we want to get to this email, but I think we've got a caller on the phone right now. And caller, if you'll give us your name, your first name, and make your comment or ask your question, we'd love to have you join in on this conversation.
Okay, my name is Barry.
Yes.
And you asked a question a while ago, and kind of a hypothetical, but really a good question. How do we get in the mess? How do we allow our government to get into the mess that they're in? And the whole deal is, this is my opinion, I think it's backed up by the scripture and by the action, but we have kind of, as Christians, we've just sat back and thought, well, you know, everything is okay. We're just going to remain status quo. And the scripture said, let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You're to be looking. That's an action verb.
Absolutely.
It says, not everyone who cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's an action verb. Everything about it, if you love me, you will keep my commands. That's an action verb. Christians are active people. They're not sitting back with their hands folded, putting a check mark on the wall when they go to worship. They're out there, and they are actively seeking. That's the determination that I believe Christians should have. And when we get back to what the Bible did, you look at the things that are happening in the Bible, it was all action. People were out teaching the Word, learning, studying, actively involved, and it wasn't a thing they did. It was a way of life. And we have got past that point. We have become complacent, and, you know, one of these days, God's going to take a look down just like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah and said, you know what, I can't find 10 people down there. And he looked at the whole world and he said, I can't find anybody except Noah and his sons and their wives.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, Barry. And there's something that I would like to add to what you're saying. And what you're saying is, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be active. And that is absolutely right. And what I think we have going on here in today's Christendom is we have people that want to be a part of a social club that meet together once a week to sit in a pew instead of getting out there and fulfilling the mission that we have been given by Jesus Christ, and that is taking our Bibles, knowing what God has to say, being ready to give an answer, as we are told in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, speaking up and taking action and not worrying what somebody's going to say when we do speak up.
Exactly.
And you know, and we appreciate that, Barry. And I think about this old saying that you've heard, that sitting in a church building doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a hen house makes you a chicken. And, you know, we think we can come and sit in the church building and be there for a couple of hours a week, and, boy, I'm a Christian. Well, no, you're not. Not if you're not out doing the work and living the life, you're not a Christian.
Okay.
We appreciate
Barry,
that.
Barry, thank you very much for your call. Thank you very much.
We also received an email, and I'm going to read the email, and then we'll make some comments about it. It says, it's not just the kids that are pressured to go on school trips. Sometimes at your job, you have to go to meetings or workshops. You have to stand up and say, I will not miss services. Work shouldn't be scheduled on Sundays or Wednesdays that conflict. And then they go on to say, and I like this comment, on the day of judgment, I don't think any one of us will say, man, I wish I'd spent more time at work and work-related activities.
that one is sent in anonymously, and that's fine, but we really do appreciate that, because jobs and the manner of making our money, and Carrie, I know you've run into this too, and this goes right along with what Nehemiah is talking about and the determination that we've got to have. But I have talked to so many people about their unfaithfulness as far as attending services, and they hold up and say, well, I had to work,
yeah,
as if that's a shield. And that's King's X. This doesn't count. I'm on home base here because I've got to make a living for my family. Friends, it is true that we've got to make a living for our family, but we do not have to put ourselves in a position where we forsake the Lord's assembly. We do not have to put ourselves in a position where we neglect the Lord and where we neglect our duties in service to the Lord as a Christian, as an active Christian. Just like Barry said just a moment ago, we cannot allow the job to dictate our life. Now, Jesus had us make a choice. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the things that he's talking about there, Kerry, are the things of necessity that we must have to survive. Oh, can we have the great big mansion on the hill? Maybe not. Maybe that's one of the things we're going to have to sacrifice. But I do know this, if we're going to be determined to go to heaven, we better have that sword in our hand, and we better be doing God's will instead of man's will, and that's exactly what this program is about. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. It's very, very important that we understand what Jesus had to say to his disciples in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me, he scatters abroad. And what he's telling us here is we're going to have to make a choice. And if it's a choice between our job and Christ, it better be Christ. And if it's a choice between our athleticism and our prideful arrogance to be the best ball player that we can be in spite of being a Christian, then we better make a choice.
That's right.
Because he's telling us here, it's going to come down to us making a choice. What do we want to be? And this individual that sent us this email, I applaud the fact that they're talking about our jobs here, and we need to have the courage and the determination to go in and tell our employer, look, I can't work on Sunday. I'll work extra on Saturday. I'll work extra on Friday. I'll work extra on Monday. But I've got to have off enough time to go worship my Lord on Sunday because I made that commitment to the Lord when I was baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins.
Well, you know, David, I think back in the history of America, and by the way, we've still got a few minutes if you want to join the discussion at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. The history of America, David, and I think about my grandparents, and I can remember when we used to go to my grandparents' house. They lived out in the country. They didn't have running water. They made worship a priority. Now they didn't. My grandmother didn't have a washing machine. The only washing machine she had was her hand. She got out in the backyard. I can still remember the black kettle that she used to warm the water to wash the clothes. She didn't have a washing machine. She didn't have running water. She didn't have indoor toiletries like we have today. They worked in the field, David, and yet they didn't miss a worship assembly. And they didn't have the modern conveniences that we have. You know, it floors me that we have all these modern conveniences now, and yet we think that we're so busy we can't do what God told us to do.
That's right. That's right. Now, what we've been considering here are the seven keys to personal growth. And we've gone through loyalty, and we established the loyalty, and every bit of this has got to be established on our faith. The faith that we gain from the Word of God. That is the faith that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's the kind of faith that we've got to have. And we build our loyalty up to God because of that faith. And we build our responsibility to God because of that faith. We mm-hmm. build our courage because of that faith, knowing that God can do what He said He's going to do. And now we've got to be determined to keep that. Now, it was very interesting, Kerry. Last week I had one of our listeners say to me, said, now, David, I have kinfolks. I have my sister that I can go to. If I have a problem with my faith, I can go and discuss my problems with my sister. She said, now, there are some people that don't have a place to go. And she made a very good point. She said, David, you and Kerry need to let those people know that are out there listening that do not have a place to go to call you so that they can have a place to go to talk about the problems of their faith and the problems like we're talking about of staying encouraged and staying focused and staying determined. And friends, we want you to know that you can come and you anytime you get ready, call us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ at 254-968-8167. You can call Kerry at the Hamilton Park Heights Church of Christ. And anytime you want to talk, we're ready. And Kerry will give you that number in just a moment. We're just about out of time, and I'm going to have my last word and turn it over to Carrie. I want us all to be blessed by studying our Bibles and reading God's Word, and may we be just as determined as the evil forces of Satan to do that thing which is right according to God. Carrie?
Well, David, we appreciate the wonderful comments and calls that we received this evening. And if you have a question, we want you to visit us at the Park Heights Church of Christ. We're located just about, if you know anything about Hamilton, we're Highway 22 and Highway 36 split off. We're about two blocks north of that highway intersection. And give us a call at 254-386-3953. That's 254-386-3953. We will talk to you about the Word of God. We would love to discuss this, and I want to echo David's words. Let's be more determined than Satan. And folks, as we started this discussion, we said we can whip the devil, and we can do it together. And we're out of time this evening. We appreciate you listening, and may God bless you as you study His divine Word.